I wonder if we've ever seen as powerful a person, if they can become that powerful since.
No, I don't think so. And the unusual thing about it that got us off onto this was what happened during my 9 days as governor.
Right.
The unusual thing about this is that Carl Albert, the Speaker of the House, the most powerful man in the United States Congress, was best friends with the former Speaker of the House from Texas. Carl was his assistant. So when he left as Speaker, Carl became Speaker. So his best friend was the Speaker from Texas. Bob Kerr's best friend was Lyndon Johnson from Texas. So Oklahoma's two most powerful politicians were best friends to the two most powerful politicians in the United States Congress, who happened to both be Texans. So Bob Kerr, using his political influence, we're talking about pork barrel in today's world, Bob Kerr got federal funds to help tourism in southeastern Oklahoma to build two state-owned lodges, Fountainhead and Arrowhead. Mm-hmm. Now, that was during the days when Edmondson was governor and the governor's brother was in Congress, so all our influence got two wonderful convention centers and tourist centers in southeastern Oklahoma. Now, they had the groundbreaking before they ever got the money, but they were promised the money. So we broke ground at Arrowhead and Fountainhead, betting on the come, as they say in games. And then Kerr died, I become governor. And the money is appropriated, but hadn't been designated for Oklahoma. So the money has been appropriated, but where is it going to go? It was to go to Oklahoma because Kerr said it would. Well, Edmondson resigns, I become governor for 9 days. I'm living at the shed. He calls me at the shed, and he said, I forgot to tell you something. He said, we haven't signed the contract yet for the two lodges, and the contract signing date falls during your 9 days as governor, and you've got to seal the deal with the federal government in your 9 days. And I can't be here to help you because I got to go to Washington. I'm now the United States Senator. So I call the appropriate person at the federal government, and I said, okay, I just need to make sure that the money is still set aside for Fountainhead and Arrowhead. And he said, yes, governor, it is, but I got to tell you, it's pretty tough to keep it. And I said, suppose I want to delay the signing of the contract and let the next governor, which would be Henry Bellman, sign it. Let him decide whether he wants to do it or not. And the guy said, governor, I can't guarantee you the money will be here. He said, I've already had 4 calls from United States senators wanting to know if that money that was going to Oklahoma is available. With Kerr being dead, they were going to try to take the money away from Oklahoma. I said, you mean if I delay it, you won't guarantee me I got the money? He said, I can't. I said, okay, will you make me this deal? If I go ahead and sign it, and the next governor decides he doesn't want to do it and honor my contract, can we get out of it? And he said, well, sure, we're not going to make you take $9 million. If you don't want it, you can get out of it. But you need to nail it down, yep. Put it on hold. And Fountainhead and Arrowhead became very controversial during those 9 days. But I kept saying, I'm not really saying we have to build them. I'm just saying, let's give the next governor the right to decide, but I got to nail this money down. But I was accused of a lot of stuff.
But why controversy?
That became a great controversy of people who didn't want, for some reason, Fountainhead and Arrowhead. The Daily Oklahoman was against it and editorializing against it. I don't know why, but they thought I was making some kind of deal. And I said, I'm not making a deal, I'm just saving it. I'm saving it so that the next governor can decide whether or not he wants it. I said, you got to let me nail it down and put it on hold.
At least you had an option.
But what happened is that the Tourism and Recreation Commission, of which I'd been chairman, got split on it. Some of them were told that if they would vote no, they would be reappointed to the commission. So suddenly some of the Tourism and Recreation Commissioners who had been approving this suddenly said, oh, we're going to vote against it. I said, you can't do that. And they used as their logic, it was very long, it was several hundred pages long, and they hadn't had a chance to read it. So I called an emergency meeting of the commission on live television. They covered it. And I said, you're going to sit here, and we're going to read every line. And I hired lawyers. They read every line, and we sat there for hours. I said, you're not going to say you haven't read it. Isn't that terrible? I said, you're not going to say you haven't read it. Finally, 3 of them came up to me and said, okay, we've been sitting here 3 hours. Let's tell you something, Governor. And it's one of my good friends. Said, let me tell you, Governor, when you get through reading, we're still not going to vote for it. Why don't you just fire us? That commission served at the pleasure of the governor, and I was governor. And I said, I can't fire you if you haven't done something. So we're going to sit here until we read it, and then we're going to vote. But I can't fire you. He said, well, when you call the roll, we're going to vote against it. I said, we're going to read it. And so he said, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we just move to cease and desist with the reading and call for a vote, and then you just fire us. I said, okay. So we sent word to the presiding officer that at the point in time when they moved to quit reading the federal contract and put it to a vote, before they put it to vote to recognize the governor of Oklahoma. So they made the motion that they cease and desist reading and call for a vote. The chairman said, let's have that motion. They passed it, and they said, okay, before we call for a vote, the governor's here, and we're going to recognize. So on live television, I get up and I say, this commission serves at the pleasure of the governor, and it is no longer the pleasure of this governor that the following members serve. And so I read off about five names that were going to vote no. I knew it. I didn't fire the ones who were going to vote yes. Then they moved to adjourn. I went over to the mansion, and I said, what do we do now? And they said, well, we've got to appoint some new commissioners. So during the night, from 10 o'clock to 7 o'clock the next morning, I called people who had been sitting in the meeting, who had heard all the contract read. I called them. I said, turn around and come back to the city. And don't tell anybody what you're going to do, but you're now a new member of the Tourism and Recreation Commission. So at 7 o'clock the next morning in the Blue Room, I had a commission meeting. The press is there. They vote to approve the contract for Fountainhead and Arrowhead with the federal government. That was the only thing they did, because the next governor fired them. But we nailed down the money, and I got attacked because I'd made a deal and so forth. Now, the interesting thing is that they always say these are nice lodges, and I said, they're not my lodges. My name's not even on there, because the next governor went to Washington, renegotiated, got an extra $1 million, signed the contract, and built the lodges. So another governor's name with another $1 million is on there. But all the years, those who criticized those lodges said they were mine. And all I did was what I said was to save it so that the next governor could make a decision. Now, that may sound offensive, but that's how sometimes politics work. But I wasn't doing anything wrong, and I don't think the next governor did anything wrong.
Governor Bellman.
Governor Bellman. He didn't do anything wrong. He signed a good deal. And Arrowhead and Fountainhead were wonderful for a period of time. And then, unfortunately, the state let them fall into disrepair and had to get rid of them.
So the private sector took it.
Yeah.